Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. In today's episode, we're going to be talking all about the question, what would you do if you became wealthy overnight? How would you react? I would love to hear your response and how you would handle running into a bunch of money overnight. I'm sure it would be a crazy time. I don't know exactly how I would handle it, but I'd love to hear your response on social media or shoot me an email. But in today's episode, we're talking with Walter Richardson. Walter, thank you for coming on today's episode, but Walter introduced me to the idea of sudden wealth syndrome. And I was super interested in the topic, and I'm sure you're going to be interested as well after today's interview. We're going to be talking about what sudden wealth syndrome is, why do athletes go broke before they're 45, what lifestyle changes happen if you do come into wealth, what does wealth do to those around you, and how can we teach future generations how to handle money that maybe we weren't used to or maybe we didn't grow up with as a kid. But the money talking points for today's episode are: what would you do if you became wealthy overnight? And two, how would you react if someone around you became wealthy overnight? With those money talking points in mind, let's get right into today's episode. You know, we don't talk about money enough. It's a topic that gets ignored for some reason, even though it plays a role in everyone's day-to-day life. This issue is what brought Money Talk with Skylar Fleming to reality. I know you're probably busy and don't have time to research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance. But that's where this podcast, Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, comes into play. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. I'm here to do the research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance. The goal is to simply get us talking about money. So let's get talking. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's interview. Joining me today, I have Walter. Walter, can you go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody?
Yeah, I'm Walter Richardson, out of Los Angeles, California, by way of New York City. I'm a financial advisor. I've worked for some of the bigger wirehouses in the United States, Morgan Stanley's, Wells Fargo's, and recently have gone independent with Richardson Wealth Management. Here in Los Angeles.
Awesome. Yeah, you've been around wealth a lot. I'm sure that's going to lead right very well into the topic of sudden wealth syndrome that we're going to talk about today, which when I saw you reached out to me, mentioned it a little bit that you covered it. And I was like, wow, that's something I've never really heard of. I'd never heard of the idea or the issue or the syndrome, more or less. It seems like when you Google it, it seems like it might be a little bit of a disease or a symptom that you might have. But what is sudden wealth syndrome?
Well, sudden wealth syndrome is basically taking someone who historically has not had large sums of money, does not know how to plan large sums of money, and doesn't understand what large sums of money equate to in their country or in their community. And when they get the money, they tend to blow it. You've seen lottery winners. There was even a show on, I think, A&E where they had lottery winners who were broke within, you know, 4 or 5 years of getting this money. It's something that really goes into the same desires that greed. It's that same gene that has human greed attached to it.
Yeah. And I think honestly, that's probably going to be a lot of people. If anyone comes into money, the majority of people have never seen the kind of money that I'm sure you're referring to, like lottery winnings and things like that. I know one of the things you initially talked to me about was athletes, that they come into this generational wealth kind of money where their whole family's set, and yet they can go broke before they're 45. How does that happen?
Well, if you think about it, a lot of your athletes have only focused on the athleticism in life. They've done everything they can do to become a professional athlete, which is play basketball, play football, play tennis, and maybe not take time or didn't have the parental guidance or the tutelage from teachers to understand what money represents. I teach my clients that there's no such thing as money, right? What you're working for is opportunity, right? The opportunity to travel, the opportunity to retire at a younger age, the opportunity to live a certain life, right? If you look at money as money, we're being inundated with advertisements everywhere we go. You know, my son is on the internet. He's playing Roblox. He's getting, you know, there's ads to buy more digital coins. There's ads all over TikTok and Instagram, and they're fighting for ad space because they know that in our country, in the United States, we have a certain amount of wealth and, income that we can spend on random items, like we can get an iPhone every year that we don't need. But sudden wealth syndrome really is taking someone who has no concept of money and giving them, millions of dollars. Now, let me take that back. It doesn't have to be millions of dollars, because there's people that I've known some people to give you a story where their parents have died and left them a life insurance policy. Let's call it $250,000, because they didn't have the structure with money and they didn't have a good relationship with money. He went out and bought a Corvette. He buys the Corvette. He crashes the Corvette. He winds up getting another Corvette. He's taking women out. He's partying. Meanwhile, his house is getting foreclosed on. How does that happen? What is the mentality? It's because you didn't have the structure. And you didn't have the understanding to save the money. Okay. Yeah. So, it could be a life insurance policy. It could be an inheritance, right? Our parents were hard workers. They worked hard. They saved, right? We're in a time in our lives where there's a lot of focus on spending. It's not a lot of focus on saving. There's a lot of focus on spending. But the smart people do save, because, like I said, money is opportunity. Money really does not exist. I'm going to give you the opportunity to create generational wealth. That's the NBA. That's I can give this to you in 4 years, right? I can give you that opportunity. Patrick Ewan was on CNBC, and one of the things he said is that when he received his money, he put it in municipal bonds. And he just, 3%, 5%, 7% outperformed the cost of living, and just have that money have that interest. Keep rolling over. Patrick Ewan will never grow broke with that strategy. Somebody had to teach him that, though.
Yeah. And that's really all it is. When you come into that kind of money, you can keep the strategy simple, but you got to learn the strategy somewhere, because things change. You like that guy, that story you were telling about the Corvette, that person would have never thought the day before they got that money to go buy a Corvette and forget about their house payment. But because our money does stuff to our minds, it just changes how we're thinking. It changes what we do. And people find themselves in a situation where all of a sudden that money's gone. What are maybe some other lifestyle changes that someone would experience when they get that windfall from life insurance or an inheritance, or maybe they won the lottery, or they are a really talented person and they're getting paid a lot of money for it? What kind of lifestyle changes do they experience there?
Well, there's an old saying that says wealth like that, it doesn't make a person, but it will reveal a person, right? So oftentimes you'll see where someone has come into a lot of money and all of a sudden they're a jerk. That shouldn't happen. When you make that kind of money, you know, you have to understand your lifestyle and what you're comfortable with. You know, there's a guy who just won, I think, the $1 billion lottery.
Yeah, everything's in the billions now. It's crazy.
Yeah. He bought a house next to Leo DiCaprio. And so I was talking to a friend of mine and I said, now here's a guy who had a regular job, you know, working 9 to 5, you know, $50,000 a year, winds up with $1 billion. The IRS takes half of it. And, you know, that's the first thing you have to remember when you put yourself in another tax bracket. You're only getting half of whatever it is the person promised you. You're in a higher tax bracket now. The IRS takes half of it. He takes the lump sum. He buys a house next to Leo DiCaprio. Well, what I teach my clients and my families that I work with, because I tend to, if I bring in a client, I tend to want to bring in their whole family because it is educational. What I teach them is that this opportunity that you have been granted, or maybe your dad is going to put a trust together, except he's going to leave you this money. But if something were to happen to him before he's 55 and a half, or before you're 55 and a half, you're still in the accumulation stage, right? You're not in the distribution stage, mm-hmm. right? And once you understand that, then you say, well, wait a minute, can I go out and buy a Ferrari? You shouldn't, because you're still accumulating. Do you know how Elon Musk lives his lifestyle?
No, please tell me.
I will tell you. When Tesla went public, he wound up getting an enormous amount of Tesla stock for somewhere around $7 a share, right? You see where it is now. It's split. It's gone up and split several times. He doesn't take the cash out of his accounts. He goes to a bank and he says, I would like to borrow money at, let's call it 4%, right, against these shares of stock, right? So they loan him the money against the shares. The stock keeps going up. So basically the loan is free. Mm-hmm. He pays the loan back. And he uses the money to open up other opportunities, right?
Yeah. These are the kind of things like that. What you just explained, I've heard that idea before of like borrowing against your shares and things like that. But those are conversations that nobody has. Like no one has that conversation with you to say, oh, hey, you just came into this big sum of money. Let's talk about this strategy. People just don't know that sort of stuff. So like that can be right. Where people just end up in over their heads with a lot of money. And even if you're, like one of the things that my wife and I are talking about right now is she's in PA school, and physician assistants make a good salary even out of their first year of school. But especially once she gets into her career, neither her or I grew up with the kind of money that she'll be making. So we're having conversations of like, how do we even prepare ourselves for the size of what your paychecks are going to be? Because we didn't ever see that kind of money. So even like common people, as you're going through school and upgrading in your career, you can come into more money than you're used to. And if it's not all at once, maybe you don't experience those same crazy lifestyle changes. But this is why it's important to talk with professionals, just talk to people about strategy, learn new ideas. It's a really fun thing to start diving down. And then you learn, oh, wow, I didn't even know that was possible. Like what you just said about borrowing against your shares. Some people have probably never heard of the idea, but that's something that when you start getting very, very wealthy, there's just things that unlock for you. I think that's really fascinating.
That's very true. I'll tell you something. If you plan on having children, when I was young, the first time I heard about stocks, like I said, I grew up in North Jersey, close to New York. And a friend of mine, his father worked in the World Trade Center. And he didn't have a big job. He had a small job at the World Trade Center. And when he would come home, he'd have a Volkswagen buggy. And we would hang on the side of the buggy, and it had those little steps. And while he parked his car, we would hang on it. And he got out, and we said, you know, he said he was coming from work, and he said, I had a good day today. And we're little kids. He said, well, what did you do? He said, I own Ford. You live around the corner from me. How do you own Ford? So he opened up they used to print the quotes. I'm a little older than you. They used to print them in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. He showed us, there's the ticker, the F, and there's the stock. I own that. And it always had me thinking, well, how does he own this? You know, how does he own this company? I further researched it and I saw that he was a shareholder and that you could own shares. And my father owned some shares, and my father would buy bonds and municipal bonds and things of this nature. And I started to learn that money is not to be spent, even though they're showing us all these commercials all day long. But money is opportunity so that you can live a different type of lifestyle.
Yeah, I love that. That's probably going to be the quote for this episode. Money is opportunity. That's such a great way to put that. So let's talk about the sudden wealth again. Let's say you get these big windfalls and you run into a bunch of money. How does that impact those around you? Because I think people often wonder how many people would ask me for money if I won the lottery. How does that kind of money impact your relationships and the people around you?
Well, in certain third world countries, if you win the lottery, you can collect the lottery with a bag on your head. So all these different relatives and kidnappers don't see exactly who it is, mm-hmm. because you're a mark. All of a sudden you become a mark. But how does it affect you? You know, let's go through. You're an NBA basketball player. You're at the draft. You get drafted number one, right? You get all this money. And, you know, your first salary is $9 million, right? Your mother and father probably didn't make that in their lifetime, right? So they can't really help you plan for that $9 million. So you start getting phone calls from financial advisors, some good, some not so good, right? So your agent, he tells you, well, go to this guy. I don't know your agent. I don't know if I trust your agent. I don't know if I trust anybody with $9 million. I would want to vet these people myself, mm-hmm. right? So the NBA started a financial advisor program where they'll vet some financial advisors and give you a list of these vetted financial advisors. But, I mean, you really have to sit down and talk to someone. You have to do background checks. You have to do broker check, which if FINRA has a broker check on online, some people claim they're financial advisors. I heard someone told me they were a financial advisor and they were selling insurance, life mm-hmm. insurance for a company that I'm not going to mention that has several lawsuits against yeah. them. But the reality is that you really have to vet them. I would say vet them like you would vet your doctor. If you're an NBA player, you're not going to let just any random guy scope your knee.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how you should treat your money.
Yeah. And I think that when you come into it suddenly, you really don't know what to do. So you're just hoping someone will steer you in the right way. And like you said, there's advertisements everywhere for all this consumption spending and not the opportunity spending like you're referring to. So we have to really be careful with our money, and especially if you're coming into large sums like that. But let's say a real world example, people will often fantasize about winning the lottery. They'll sit there and say, what would you do if you won the lottery? And say, oh, I'd quit my job the next day. Well, what should people actually do with that kind of money? What would be a proper way, like maybe just a few steps of a proper way to handle that kind of money?
Well, the proper thing to do is don't quit your job right away, right? Take a look and see, you know, how long have you been working there? Your 401k, other things that you would be, you know, if you had matching stock at your job, you're going to lose it, right? If you're not vested, you're going to lose it. So you have to have the mentality that I'm still in the accumulation phase. So you have to say, okay, now they gave me this $10 million or somehow I came into this $10 million. If I'm still accumulating, how can this $10 million help me accumulate more money, right?
Yeah.
Or you might say this $10 million is enough. If I could just make 5% on it for the next 10 years, if I'm 30 years old and I plan on retiring at 50, I have 20 years. Right. So I might want to insure this money. There might be a way to put it into a municipal bond or some type of investment. I have to go find out from a professional what is right for me. Right. And you know, I was watching the show Broke. I think ESPN did it. I'm not sure who did it. It's Broke. And it's about athletes going broke, you know, and I remember one athlete, he said, I was in the Bronx and a friend of mine came up to me and said, we should open a car wash. He opened a car wash, but he didn't really give it a lot of thought. Well, on the East Coast, when winter comes, the car wash is closed. Right. So look at these months during these winter months that the car wash is closed. But if you don't keep the water on, your pipes are going to freeze. Right. So the water's got to keep
expensive.
Right. So you're keeping the water hot. You got to keep the water hot. You got all this stuff going on, but you're not making any money. Restaurants. That's another one. If you're not a restauranteur, if you don't know how to run a restaurant, I mean, there's restaurants here in L.A. They're here this year and they're gone next year. You know, they just it's a tough business. I think you should do what you know. Right. If you know sports, open up a coaching program for kids. Teach them the sport. Maybe go into coaching. Maybe do some announcing. You know, maybe open up or maybe work with something that's sports related. But you have to understand you're still in the accumulation phase. You know, if I'm 30 years old, you think I just want to wake up and say I'm rich. I don't have anything to do today. I'm just going to watch the Cartoon Network. And, you know, I mean,
sounds a little boring. Yeah.
You know, so and just like these, you know, if you look at rich people, if you look at Bill Gates, if you look at Elon Musk, they don't have to work ever again. And what do? They wake up and go to work every day. They're still in the accumulation phase. Right. Their mentality is I can't stop until it's time to stop. Right.
Yeah.
An NBA player, the average career of an NBA player is somewhere around 4.5 years. Right now, the average salary is close to $9 million. If you can make $9 million in 4.5 years, that's excellent.
Yeah, you're golden.
But most guys don't. Most guys are on the low end of that. Most guys are in the $750,000 range, right? Save your money. Put it somewhere safe. Establish a trust, which is not for everybody. Talk to an estate attorney, right? Figure out what you should save. Figure out what you can spend, and figure out what you can do. To if you're out of the NBA, like a lot of people, you know, I know a couple of guys that are done at the age of 30. You know, what's the next chapter of your life? You know, and it should be something that you know. Don't get into something you don't know.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, the 30 years thing, if they're out of their career by 30, they still have what, 70 years to live? Like, what are you going to do? Blow all that money? How are you going to make that much money last that long? But even if you're someone who wins the lottery, I think one thing that I was picking up from what you were saying is see how the money you come into fits into the plan that you're already doing. Like, take what you know, like you said, if you're into sports, coach, if you're into marketing, do consulting, or like if you're into volunteering, volunteer more. But like, see how the money that you come into fits into the plan that you're already doing. Like, if you're in the accumulation phase, maybe that money helps you hit that money, that number that you had in mind. And that's great. Then you can move on to the next stage of your plan. But this is why it's so important to have those plans and the conversations in place beforehand. Because when you run into that kind of money, your plan can be set up completely different, because that's like a $10 million lottery winning is enough for someone to be financially independent. Like, that's enough money that you could quit your job. But if you did that the next day and just went on a bunch of cruises, the money's gone before you could even blink. Like, you can spend money real fast. Like, it's funny
you mentioned cruises. You know what's in the middle of every cruise ship?
A casino. That's
a
my
casino.
Guess. Oh, yes. Yep. So yeah, they're going to take even more than just the price of the. Yeah, that's crazy. So how do you actually help people around you? So you get this big lottery winning, this $10 million, and you have someone who's in poverty in your family and you want to make sure to help them. How do you actually do that properly without giving your money away to everyone that asks?
Well, my mantra is plan, invest, manage, right? Mm-hmm. You can't do anything with a plan. You know, someone once said, if you don't know where you've been, you don't know where you're going. Right. So you understand, I was broke. I was poor. I don't want to go, I don't want to be poor again. Right. So I have this lump sum of money. I need to figure out a way to plan for this money. Right. How long do I want to work? That's one of the first questions we ask. How long do you see yourself working? Right. You give us a number. We're going to plug that number in. Then we're going to work backwards and see if the money can get you to that number. You know, the hardest conversation I've had with someone is to say, you wanted to retire at 50, but if you want to retire at 50 and have this type of income coming in, you're actually going to have to work to 57.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Because you just didn't make enough money. Now you can, if you do, you know, a lot of the people I deal with are professionals. Maybe you could do some consulting, make up the shortfall. Then you can retire at 50, you know, outside of your job. You can do like some a part-time consulting.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the remote working that we have now, people are able to do it. You know, people are able to work from home and put in their 8 hours, and then they still, for some reason, still have enough energy to go out and do some consulting for, you know, for another firm or for some private consulting for an individual entrepreneur. And, you know, there's really good opportunities out here right now as far as the way we work, right? Like how we're doing this podcast, right? I didn't have to drive to you. You didn't have to come to me. You know, we're evolving in a way where we can do more. So even if I was an NBA player and I had I was doing coaching and I had someone in Detroit, I could get on Zoom and coach them, take my phone outside, get on the court, do some things, show them what they should do. And then they could video themselves and show me. And we can still do the tutoring across country.
Yeah, but there's opportunities. Yeah.
Yeah. And my point is simply, when you're in the accumulation phase, please continue accumulating.
Yeah, you know? Don't start consuming like crazy. Don't start trying to figure out how you can spend your money quite yet. Keep locked in on that plan. That's a great takeaway. So if it's sudden wealth and maybe passing it on to the next generation, or like me and my wife, where we'll likely make more money than we've ever seen before, what are some ways that we can teach these to our kids or other people's kids? How do they teach their kids about money when you're better off than you were when you were a kid? How do you pass on those good habits?
Well, here's one thing which I see I've prescribed some parents to do is if you go to Disney, the Disney webpage, they have what's called the direct investing, where you can buy, you know, $100 worth of Disney. And in some cases, they used to do it. I don't know if they still do it. They'll send you the stock certificates, right? And those are excellent to show your children. You know, when you have children, you say, okay, this is for you. We're going to keep accumulating these. And this is how you're going to go to college. You know, and it doesn't have to be Disney. I think General Motors does it. A couple of, you know, and it's a good way to show them that, you know, the brands that you use, you can invest in. Mm-hmm. Nike, for instance, you know, everybody wants to wear the Nike shoes. How many of these people are Nike shareholders?
Yeah, I like that. It's like the story you told right at the beginning of someone who owned a little bit of Ford. Instead of owning the products these companies are making, teach people to own the companies themselves. That's really powerful. Because even if like your long-term plan probably isn't going to be only one single company stock, or hopefully you diversify a little more than that.
Right, but like absolutely.
For a kid, that's such a good introduction of, you know, all these Disney movies we're watching, you own part of the company that's making that. Like that's
right. Every time you watch Lion King, I make money. Right?
Yeah, there you go.
I can
go.
See
yeah.
a kid saying that, right?
Oh yeah, that'd be hilarious. They're at like a friend's party and they're like, I'm making money while we're watching this movie. That's awesome. Because then it gets the friends and stuff questioning it.
But
that's
see cool. how we're laughing and we're enjoying. This would create a mindset in a child, right? So he's like, you know, this is fun. Like saving money is fun. And saving money when I was younger was always more fun than spending money. Because when it was time for me to get that BMX bike, crack that piggy bank open or go to the bank. And I'm like, Mom, I have the money for the bike that I told you I wanted. I have it. She's like, you have it. Yeah. paper routes and pumping gas and shoveling snow. And, you know, I grew up in a different era, obviously, but, you know, there's things that kids can do to understand the opportunity that money gives them.
Yeah. Owning things is a great one. Working for their money and saving it. That's awesome. That's fantastic. That's such a great takeaway for anyone listening, looking to have kids or has kids, like get them interested in the saving side of things. So that really answered, honestly, the last question too, of how to instill good money habits for future generations. Like, keep them going with the things that are fun, lighthearted. I don't think you need to sit down with your kids and show them how to set up a trust. Like,
that's going to probably be boring.
Yeah, I don't know. My kids are going to have to deal with spreadsheets. I love spreadsheets, so they better be ready. But yeah, I love everything we've been talking about today. Was there anything you want to add, or could you maybe wrap up with how some people can contact you or anything like that?
Yeah, well, you can contact me, RichardsonWealthManagement.com. I have a robust website that will be launching in the next couple of days. You can find me on LinkedIn. You could also find me on Facebook for right now. You can Google me. I will show up in a Google search. And what I would say to anybody, like in your position, that if you plan on having children, take a look at the college you want them to go to. Take a look at how much it costs and get that number etched in your brain that we're going to start saving. So my son can go to UCLA, mm-hmm. right? So this is what I need to do. You could break that down. But back to the idea of sudden wealth. My mantra, plan, invest, manage, right? But you got to plan first. You know, Shaq said that when he got his first contract, that some other guys in the locker room were, he bought a Ferrari, they bought a Ferrari. He bought a Mercedes, they bought a Mercedes. He had to pull a guy aside. I don't want to say any names. He pulled him aside. He goes, I make 5 times more money than you. You can't do what I do. You need mm-hmm. to save your money. And that mentality is why Shaq is one of the few NBA stars that is now a business owner and on track to probably, if he's not a billionaire already, he's on track to be the next billionaire. LeBron James, the same thing, right? Sudden wealth, but he had a plan. Mm-hmm. You can tell LeBron had a plan in high school. Not that I'm going to be a basketball player, but that I'm going to be the first billionaire that's playing basketball.
Yeah.
So when LeBron came in the league, I don't know if you know this story, one of the first people he met with was Warren Buffett.
Yeah, I'd never heard that.
If you ever sit down and talk to Warren Buffett, he will get you in the mind frame that you don't have to hit home runs with these investments. You know, a bunch of singles add up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just got to, I love the idea, just plan, invest, keep it going. Like that's awesome. Make sure you're just doing those simple things. And then if you run into that sudden wealth, if someone listening to this podcast wins the lottery, first off, please contact me. I'd love to interview you on my show. But
it would be interesting.
Yeah, if you win the lottery, just plug it into that plan, invest it, and keep going. Keep hitting those singles, like you said. That's awesome. Well, Walter, this has been a great interview. It's been fantastic. A lot of good laughs. That was a lot of fun to talk about. So thank you for coming on. And yeah, we'll have to catch up again sometime soon.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It was a great experience.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. And again, thank you so much to Walter Richardson for coming on today's episode. If you want to reach out to him or ask him any questions, of course, his information will be in the show notes, as well as my contact information and social media. I would love if you'd reach out with any questions so that we could start to build a listener question type episode. Or if you have any questions as well, leave a comment on the Facebook post and Instagram post for this episode. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have. But you may have noticed in the intro and outro, there's a little bit of a shiny spot in my head. And I wanted to share this story real quick because it's a little bit of a fun peek inside my life. I actually have 6 staples inside of my head. So you'll notice on a couple episodes and a couple interviews, you might be able to tell when I recorded them based on the staples in my head. I suffered an injury at a pool, on a basketball hoop in a pool, and had to go to the ER and get staples in my head. It was nothing crazy, but just a fun story to share. I love to share it because I think it's hilarious. So So of course I'm sharing it here on my podcast. I'm sure if my wife listens to this episode, she'll have a good laugh about this part. But really, it teaches us, like, make sure we have our money in place because we never know when an emergency might happen. Thankfully, nothing really crazy happened. I walked to the ER because it was the only thing open at that kind of night, and they stapled my head up and we were all good. But what if I went unconscious or had a concussion or something like that, and maybe it required more treatment, a little bit more of an emergency? What are you going to do in that kind of a situation if you don't have some sort of fund, whether it's a peace of mind fund or an emergency fund or whatever you want to call it? If you don't have some money set aside for a situation like that, what are you going to do? Well, that's going to wrap up today's episode. Thank you again to Walter for coming on, and thank you to every one of you for listening to today's episode. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.